Welcome to 239 Uncensored. Everything Southwest Florida and beyond with your host, Tim Jarrett. This podcast covers it all. Real talk on issues from real estate to real crime. Join the discussion on hot topics to politics. Don't get left behind. Be in the know about everything Southwest Florida and beyond.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to 239 Uncensored, everything Southwest Florida and beyond. And we have a great podcast today. We have two unbelievable guests, friends of mine. One that's I've known a little bit longer, Kimberly Boubier. And then we also have the Reverend Stephen Lewis Kraft. And I've met you today, but I feel like I've known you for like ever, Reverend.
In the spirit you have, Brother Tim.
Yeah, let me give you a little rundown. First, we're going to go with Kim's background. And everybody in Collier County knows Kim. I think a lot of people do. As a conservative mama bear, she's a devout Catholic Christian. As am I, and devoted single mother to an 18-year-old daughter, wonderful daughter. She's got Down syndrome, but you do so many things to help her out. You're a staunch advocate for the pro-life movement and all vulnerable individuals from preconception to natural death, and we're going to talk about that. Kimberly's also an advocate for classical Christian education and homeschooling. She's been involved in local politics since 2021. She campaigned for school board, and I remember that very well, and also very passionate patriot who believes in civic responsibility and taking action. That's one thing I know about Kim. She takes action. She was a professional golf instructor, and for more than 20 years, she coached young ladies in college golf, mentored children in First Tee program of Collier County. In more recent years, she has volunteered with the Collier County Special Olympics program and plays unified golf with her daughter, Samantha. She has a background in home care and pharmacy as well. Just a lot of things. It's just amazing the stuff that you do. And you do it for Collier County and for our community and the world in whole. And I gotta thank you for that.
Well, no need to thank me. It's what I'm called to do. It's what the Lord has laid on my heart, to advocate for the vulnerable, those without a voice like my daughter. And I'm the voice and she's the face.
And you know, and we're going to get, I'm going to introduce the Reverend here in just a second, but I met Kimberly, it was probably, I've seen you around town, but I've got to know you in the last year, and I've seen you at meetings, and you just stand up, and when you speak, you just really bring it, and you tell it like it is, and you are there to let people know how, and educate them to how to better things in our community and for our kids with special needs. I mean, I think that's a huge thing. And we're going to talk about that soon. And we have also, we got the Reverend Stephen Lewis Kraft, and he's got this Revmobile. He drives around in this thing. If you've got to go on his website. It's amazing. And I know you got some big things for that. And then the Reverend holds a master's degree in divinity from Harvard Divinity School in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He's a fellow New Englander. Back in the day, I'm from way up in that way. He holds a bachelor's degree in Bible and pastoral counseling from the Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. He served as a correctional chaplain, and I want to get into that a little bit as well, at various prisons, and is the author of the booklet Morality and Freedom, America's Dynamic Duo. Reverend Kraft serves as a chaplain with Camp Constitution Incorporated and speaks on issues involving race, class, gender from a biblical conservative perspective. He has ministered the gospel in various nations abroad and currently is a lead pastor, and evangelist for Congregation of Believers in Lexington, Massachusetts. Reverend Kraft is married to Edith. I just met her outside, May Kraft, since 1978, and has four children and eight grandchildren. Well, welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me, Brother Tim. I am highly honored to be here. And if I can say anything to bring God glory, it's simply this, that God chooses what the world calls the foolish, and for one reason, to confound the wise who believe that they're wise in their own eyes. And it's a pleasure and it's an honor, brother, to be here with you. And I'm trusting God that this, even though this is our first time together, and even though the wife and I, we live up in New England, I'm believing God, because of my precious friend inviting me to be a part of your podcast, to be able to come down here, at your calling and do more things to work with you. Because we come down, the wife and I, we come down here to Florida at least every 3 or 4 months to preach. So this is not a one-time thing for us. And I already see a camaraderie between you and myself in the spirit. So again, I just want to thank you for inviting me. And anytime you say, Rev, we need a firebrand, breathing preacher, a patriotic pulpit-pounding black conservative preacher to fight against some of this CRT and DEI nonsense. Let me call the Rev. He might not come down with the Rev mobile because it's a long drive.
Well, you know, when the Rev rolled up in here today and he walked in, it's like an instant magnet, right? I mean, you bring it, you know? And then you've got Kim with you and two unbelievable people here at one time, and I get to interview both. So a little bit, yeah, it's just amazing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I feel honored to be here today too, Tim. Yeah. I really do appreciate you giving us this opportunity.
No, I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad you guys are here. Well, let's talk a little bit about it. You know, let's go with Kim first. Let's talk about it. And I know the pastor and the reverend's going to jump on, but Kim, where are you from, and what brought you to Naples in Collier County?
I'm from the communist state of Michigan originally. And I was so happy to get out of there. I love Michigan geographically speaking. It's absolutely beautiful, but their politics is not. They do not currently under this administration respect life at all. In fact, they just recently put it into their constitution that abortion is now written right into it. And that's very unfortunate. So I'm really happy to be in the red state of Florida and be able to fight alongside such great patriots to bring conservative values and have them hopefully spread like wildfire across this nation, because that's what we need. And specifically, I'm called by God to abide by Proverbs 31:89. It says, open your mouth for the dumb, the mute, those unable to speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are left desolate and defenseless. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and administer justice for the poor and the needy. And it doesn't matter. You can be poor and needy and still advocate for the poor and needy. And so I just feel like that is my main mission in life, and to do it in whatever way possible. We have to do something lest we do nothing. Mm. We cannot just make excuses, and because I could come up with many, but we've got to get up and we've got to rise up and do something to protect the vulnerable in our society, because they're being sought out. The enemy is after our children, who are very vulnerable. The enemy is after life in general, and life is supposed to be nurtured, not destroyed.
So you came to Florida and specifically Collier County knowing that this was a place that would support you?
No, actually. Thank you for getting me back on track.
No, that's good.
I get a little passionate about that. So originally I came down to Collier County, Naples in 1997, way back before the turn of the century.
Yeah, I got here in 1990. Yeah.
And it was a completely different Naples then. And I came down to seek out a career in golf. I had no idea. I'd never been here before. I only knew one person here. Had no clue what I was getting into, literally, even in golf. So anyway, I pursued that and did rather well and ended up at a course here where I really did well and ended up back in Michigan because I got asked up there to teach. That's where I ended up getting married. But I never left Naples because I didn't like it. I loved Naples. I fell in love with Naples. So as soon as, and I even told my husband at the time, you know, the plan is to get down to Naples as quickly as possible. Well, that didn't happen. And then the divorce came. And so I knew I wanted to be here. And there really looked like there was no way to have that happen because of the divorce and the custody and all those things. Right. But while we were here in the winter of, we got here December 2019 and COVID broke out. So that in time afforded us the opportunity to stay because of my daughter's comorbidities. Her doctor did not want her to travel. And so we were able to stay full time. And right on top of that, then we had the election take place And that was, you know, a turning point, let's say. And
yeah, that was
Yeah. And I knew right away instinctively that things were going to go south quickly. I already knew things were bad in our country, but now I really knew. And I just knew I had to do something. I was raised to be civically responsible. My father was a Marine. I had to get involved. So the first thing I did was I went out to a Hillsdale College Freedom Forum. I'm from that area. I lived there for a while. And that was in early 2021. And I met someone there from Ave Maria who said, oh, Naples is so conservative. I said, yeah, I know. That's what I love about it. She said, but did you know the school board isn't quite so much? And I said, no. And so one thing led to another through going to different Patriot meetings, some that Alfie Oaks was putting on at the time through Dan Cook. And next thing I know, everybody's saying, you know, you should run for school board. And I prayed and I prayed and I thought, you know, actually, I feel like that is the most logical
thing. Why watch from the sideline?
Exactly.
Jump in, right, yeah.
And I sorry, this is slipping. It made the most sense because I'm a mama bear. And even though I homeschooled my daughter, I knew the schools were bad. That's exactly why I homeschooled my daughter. And I thought, well, this is a great place for me to fight. I've always wanted to serve my country in some fashion. And I'm too old to join the military, even though I would love to fight. But this made perfect sense. So that's what I did. I threw my hat into the ring. Yeah. And I didn't win. I lost to a great guy.
Right.
Jerry Ruthford.
Yeah.
I did. I lost to a really great guy. But I learned so much. I did not lose, really. I gained so much by losing that election. And I didn't quit just because I lost. Yeah. And here I am. So I'm still...
Yeah, we see you every day at a lot of meetings, you know, just very, very involved, and it's important. Now, I'm Reverend, tell us a little bit about your connection with Kim in Naples and why you like to come to Naples so much, and obviously you get around. You told me that you even were in northern Maine. You go up to northern Maine, Fort Kent, Presque Isle, Caribou, Maine, all those places, and you're in southwest Florida. Tell me a little bit about how all that works.
Well, again, being a preacher, my foundation first and foremost is the scriptures. The Bible tells us that when we are in God's will, he guides, he always provides. And
amen.
I do not come up with ideas myself and say, well, I'd like to do such and such and such and such. I spend time in prayer. I ask God to open doors that he once opened and shut doors that he wants shut. Because I know if I lean on my own understanding, I'm gonna blow it. I'm 80 years old. I'll be 81 in October,
wow.
October 10th. Me, matter of fact, I met Kimberly, our birthday's the same day, October 10th. I met her right here in Naples based on God's direction and leading. And how that happened, I had put on a seminar with my good friend who pastors Eagle's Nest Worship Center.
Okay, right on Mockley Road.
Right, right. Yeah. Pastor Craig Canfield and his wife, Catherine, they're dear friends of ours. They call us down to preach like once every quarter. They called us down. I told them, I said, look, I said, I need to do a seminar. Pastor said, on what? I said, on this nonsense of racial hatred between whites and blacks with this CRT nonsense. I says, the left uses critical race theory, as they call it, but as a black conservative who's going to speak truth from the word, I call it what it really is, crazy racial trash. I said, I knew about CRT before they even started calling it CRT, because I graduated in the class of 96 from Harvard University School of Divinity. Harvard University School of Divinity was the first graduate school in Harvard University. Harvard University started off by a preacher named John Harvard, whose bust sits in Harvard Yard to this very day. And Harvard was started off by a preacher to train educated clergy so that when the current clergy dies, they called it light falls into the dust, there would not be left an ignorant and unliterate clergy. So I came, I did this seminar on what this critical race theory nonsense was all about. It was to divide the cultures, especially between blacks and whites. And how, because I had studied this nonsense, because I had to study Marxism. I'm not a Marxist, I'm an Americanist. I love this country. And I would sit there at Harvard way back in the mid-90s. I graduated in the class of 96. So I knew what Karl Marx had set down. I knew what Saul Alinsky had set down. I knew what Margaret Sanger had set down. I knew what Charles Darwin had set down and all these Marxists. And when I think about young people today that want to embrace Marxism and embrace socialism and want to embrace Darwinism, I say to myself, you young people do not have a clue of what you're buying for yourself. So I asked Pastor, I said, let me use the church and put on a seminar. He gave me permission. Kimberly, some way, found out about it. She was being led by the Spirit. And she didn't
absolutely.
Know, she didn't
it was know, Constitution Day.
Yeah. She didn't know me from Adam, but she had heard me evidently online. She says, oh, I like what this guy is saying. I'm going to go to and see the seminar. So that's how we met. She came up to me. She brought her cub, you know, Samantha. We talked. And then every time she found out that I was coming down to preach for Pastor Craig, she would say, I got to be there and hear Rev. So then we started communicating from afar, you know, because I have my wife and I, we went back to Massachusetts. So that's basically how we met. And then we began to get the mind of God, where the Lord says, I'm giving Kimberly a calling. And she ran for school board. And as a conservative mama bear, and she looked up to me as a papa bear who would be a spiritual father to her, because her husband had left her and left her with the child and divorced her and went his way. So I says, yes, I says, I will take on that mantle to be a spiritual papa bear to her, because the natural family, the real family, has to have a strong papa bear emphasis to be a protector, be a provider. And a true mama bear has to nurture and protect her cubs. So that's the short version of how we met.
Divine intervention.
Exactly.
And I'd like to add a little to that. So actually, we met, I had just lost the election, but I still needed that spiritual leader, absolutely, that guidance, that protection, because I really, really felt very vulnerable to so many things. But so we met, I mean, within a week or two, it seemed like, of losing the election, and he said, oh, we got to get you up to Camp Constitution to present. And the next thing I know, Samantha and I are flying up to Lexington or to Boston. Mm-hmm. They pick us up. Mm-hmm. We go to Lexington. The hurricane, Hurricane Ian, hits that same day.
And you guys were gone.
And just we were gone. Mm-hmm. I know. Thank and, mm-hmm. you know, we live in our RV, so yeah. it was yeah. so good that we were gone yeah. because we could not have stayed there. And so it afforded us an extra week that we did not expect because we couldn't fly home. The airport was
right,
closed,
right.
Which that's what led to us finding out we were born on the same day. Mm-hmm. And we got to celebrate our birthday together, and it fell on Columbus Day. And, you know, the big push to make that Indigenous Peoples Day. So we were really blessed to be able to go to, was it a rally?
Yeah.
To celebrate Columbus Day and hear the history on Columbus Day so that you understand the true history and meaning of Columbus Day. And so it was such a blessing for myself and Samantha to be there. Lexington is where they live at the Lane House, and it's the cradle of liberty, Tim. It's where it all began, and we got to go there.
I mean,
talk about being blessed. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. It was incredible. And we got to take Samantha. We got a walking tour from Hal Shurtleff from Camp Constitution. He's one of the founders, right?
Yeah.
And he gave us a walking tour of both Lexington and Concord. And then Rev and Samantha and I went to Orchard House, which is where Louisa May Alcott wrote Little Women. And that's Samantha's absolute favorite novel. And so I've just been so blessed incredibly by God and by knowing Reverend Kraft and his wife. We stayed with them for 2 weeks at the Lane House, and I was blessed for them to see the relationship that Samantha and I have, and he got to really understand why I have refused for all these years to send her to school. That's why I ran for school board, because I knew I did not want my child in school. And he confirmed it. After the 2 weeks was almost over, he looked at me and he said, there is no way, no way you can go back to work and work a full-time job and just send her off somewhere. She needs your protection. And I said, praise God. That's what I've been trying to tell everybody all these years, that she's just not safe. She's just not one of those individuals that can take care of herself. And she doesn't understand the danger that's out there right now. And it's greater than ever.
Yeah. No, it's funny how these little puzzles and pieces come together. It's not by accident.
No.
Reverend Kim, you know that, right? And it's happened to me. And one thing in my campaign, I will tell you, I have learned and met so many people, and these little puzzle pieces come together. Kim, for example, Reverend, Pastor Cooper is a really good friend of mine. And these people are all coming into my life, and then people that help out on my campaign. And at the end of the day, whatever happens is going to happen, right? Whatever happens is going to happen. I feel very confident about it. But like Kim said, is the things she's been blessed by, the opportunity and how much you learn and you experience. And it opens your eyes to so many different things. Like, I know everybody in Collier County, but I really don't. I mean, I met so many new people and so many good people. And not everybody likes Tim Jurette, right? Not everybody likes me, but that's okay. That's on them, right? You know, I'm just, I try to keep everything. I just had a phone call before the podcast, and they're like, you know, I don't understand it. You should be against this. And listen, I'm for the people. I want to make sure that when people go vote, that they feel comfortable and they have confidence, and that the vote's going to count. You know, I'm not out here to hate anybody. That's not me. So bringing people together has been a really good thing. And just being blessed by having you guys here today, you know, it's just amazing. I got to see, real quick, I got to see Colonel West last night speak.
Oh.
And wow, he just, you echoed exactly what he said.
Wow.
And amazing, amazing guy.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you a word of encouragement. Word of encouragement is this. The Bible teaches, woe unto you if everyone speaks well of you. Because when you're in the center of God's will, Satan and the kingdom of darkness is going to attack. But the devil only attacks you when you're a threat, because you're over his target. And when everybody thinks well of you and speaks well of you, that's a trap. Because they're not your real friends. They're trying to get something from you. So you are, my brother, to rejoice when you have enemies. Because when you have enemies, that's a direct sign from heaven that God has his hand over you. Why? Because the enemy of your soul is threatened by your presence. Your campaign will be a blessing from God because you have the main attribute. Know what that attribute is? What I just heard you say, I love people.
And I do love people.
And Tim, you're going to be blessed win or lose.
Yeah,
because
no, it's
God has a plan, and you don't know if it's for to be in that position or not, but it may just be a way for him to get you where he wants you to be. I don't know. I don't know the way God works always, but that's how he worked with me. He worked in just incredible ways. And so I just know, win or lose, you're going to be blessed, and God's going to use you and bless you for running, because it's not an easy thing to do. It takes courage to run for political office because, you know, I mean, I felt so scared. You would not believe how scared I felt, because I was told, oh, they're going to dig up every little thing they can find on you, and they're going to twist it and manipulate it, and they'll go talk to your ex-husband. And not that I, you know, we all have a past, but gosh, you don't want to be dragged through the mud. Nobody does.
Right.
Nobody
right.
wants that. So, yeah. So, but God has his ways.
Yeah.
And so,
and I would say one more thing. It's so easy to sit on the sidelines and, you know, throw a stone over there and talk about it. Get in the game. Get in the game, Reverend. And you come all the way down to Naples to get in the game, and you got the game up there. You're just bringing it to more people.
Well, because the gospel, Tim, is global. It's universal. The same Christ, the same Jesus that speaks to us here in Florida, and I don't live here, is the same Jesus that speaks across the pond. Absolutely. My wife and I just got back from Cape Town, South Africa, last month. And every time we travel, We learn things. We learned a miracle just today, this morning with Kimberly. Maybe she'll have a minute to share before we conclude. But God, my brother, is the God of miracles. And I want to say this to you concerning campaign. There's no such thing of you might win, you might lose. No, you always win. Win, lose, or draw, you win. You know why? Because number one, what God says is going to happen, no devil can stop. But what God says is not going to happen, no devil can put forward. You're God's man for this hour. That's why he's given you this platform or these podcasts and the fact that you're running. And if you prevail and get that seat, it's because God wants you in that seat to do his will, not yours. But by the same token, just like with Kimberly, if you don't prevail, you're not going to lose. Correct word is prevail. And you don't get that seat is because God is using your works to take you to even a higher level. Because see, like this school board thing, if she had prevailed and got that seat on that school board, she wouldn't have been able to make any changes there. Why? Because that school board is a system, not only in Naples, but around this country, that comes down from the Department of Education to do what? To destroy the innocence of these cubs, of these children. So you would have been frustrated. You'd have been isolated. You'd have been marginalized. You'd have been frustrated and everything else, sitting on that school board of saying, this is wrong. And they just, it'd go in one of their ears and out the other. I have spoken before school boards, and they would bring them filthy children's books and try to rationalize why kids are supposed to read this filth. And then I would stand up when they'd call my name to refute it, and I'd stand up and I'd hold the Bible. I says, you're telling these people about your books? I says, I'm going to now tell you what the book says. And then all of a sudden they get quiet. And then he says, bing, the bell will ring. Your 3 minutes are up. He says, get rid of him. We don't want to hear all that Bible thumping. But they don't know that God didn't send me to those school board meetings to just get up and wring my hands and talk about, oh, you school boards, you're so wicked. Bah, 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 bah. You shouldn't be telling these kids these things. When the truth of the matter is, the government school was not set up to educate. The government school system was set up to indoctrinate, because the government school system is working toward the evil agenda that it was set up to be. And no one person sitting on those school boards are going to cause those people to say, you know what? We were wrong. We need to stop that and teach the kids the reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. All you have to do, my brother, is continue to walk in faith, continue to say to the Lord every day, Lord, if I'm to win this seat, then Father, you'll use it for your glory because it's your will. But Lord, on the other hand, if I don't prevail, I didn't lose a thing because you're using it as a seed to take me to even a higher level than where I was.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Reverend. Some strong words right there.
But he's right. And in hindsight, I am glad that I did not win, because I really would have had my hands tied in many ways. And we see that. We see that with many things that Mr. Rutherford has tried to get going, and other people. So it's to me, I think it's a little bit of a losing battle, really. And I know Governor DeSantis is doing great things. School of Choice is going to be a great thing. But I will always have homeschooling on my heart. I think it's the best choice. Maybe not everybody feels that way, but that's how I feel. And I'm going to always advocate for homeschooling. Get the government out of our schools. I don't want the government educating my child. I just don't. I'm the best choice to educate my child, and I believe that comes from Scripture, that it's my responsibility to nurture my child. It's my responsibility to protect my child. It's my responsibility to educate my child, to raise my child up in the way that she should go, and when she is old, she will not depart from it. And we're supposed to sit and talk with our children about Scripture and about what the Lord wants. And I know you can back this up, Rev. We're not supposed to leave it in the hands of anybody else. And let me tell you, these kids, they're out there. They're not going to school anymore to learn academics. They're going to learn everything pretty much but academics. We have a catastrophe in our country of, I think it's 40% across the board that can't read and do math at grade level. And so they're going there. Not only are they not learning the academics the way they should be, but they're learning the culture from all of their classmates. And that's what happens. I don't want my child going and learning all that because I'm trying to teach her about purity and holiness and about the Lord and walk in his ways. And then you send them off and they're picking up everything else at school. And it, I'm telling you, it is really hard to go up against the peer pressure. It no matter who you are, no matter how solid you are.
See, I'm glad you said that. One must understand the history of government education to understand why we are where we are. If you go back and look at the works of John Dewey and the other one, Horace Mann, you'll see that that system was not set up to educate anybody. Mm-hmm. It was set up to dumb the kids down through indoctrination to follow a secular mindset. Kids are not to go to school to learn about how to perform anal sex and boys thinking they girls and all kind of such nonsense. I get livid when I think about it. I have grandkids. I don't have any kids in school. But the fact that Satan, who's behind this thing, wants... Matter of fact, Karl Marx or Lenin, no, it was Lenin that says, all we need to do to flip a nation is to get the children in one generation. Because those children, if these children are indoctrinated in wickedness, why would you tell a kindergartner about anal sex? They can't even spell anal sex. There's a reason this stuff is going on. And it has nothing to do with education. We have to define our terms. And the government school system is not set up. It never was. It is succeeding in what Mann and Dewey set it up to do. And that was to get the children. When I hear these so-called LGBTQ people talk about, we're going to get your children. We're coming for your children. You better believe it, because that's exactly what they're doing and they mean it. And so I'm going to let it go because you get me started
so
on that one.
So I'm going to back that up, though, right out of scripture here. Okay, so Deuteronomy chapter 28 is, Deuteronomy is a great book. And it tells us all about, you know, if you follow the Lord, you walk in his ways, you go by his commandments, you're going to be blessed. And if you don't, you're going to be cursed. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy chapter 28 is full of that. And verse 32 specifically says, and this is foundational to what Rev and I do, your sons and daughters shall be given to another people, and your eyes shall look with fail and longing for them all the day, and there shall be no power in your hands to prevent it. Mm-hmm. I think that speaks to exactly what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. If you're sending your children to school, I've heard so many stories of people, yeah, we sent our kids off to school and in college, you know, and we thought they were pretty solid. Because this isn't just happening in the public school system, the younger kids. It's also happening in college. That's pretty much where it got started. But they say, oh, our kids are lost. Mm-hmm. We lost them. Mm-hmm. They went and they got indoctrinated in college. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, please pray for them. We're really worried about their salvation. Mm-hmm. And so we're losing them to that, the indoctrination. We're losing them to transgenderism. And once you start off on that course, it's irreversible. Mm-hmm. So they're losing their boy to being a girl or their girl to being a boy. We're losing them to mental illness mm-hmm. like crazy these days. I mean, how do you think these kids feel when they go to school? And they must feel like they're in a maximum security prison at times.
It can be difficult. I mean, the Reverend doesn't know my background, but I worked as a school resource officer for several years here in Collier County. And I also was in charge of the school resource officers as a captain at the sheriff's office. We work really closely. I mean, I've had two of my daughters went through the school system. They knock on wood, a lot of prayer, right? But thank God everything worked out really well. They're super successful. So I think the school system did not fail them. But I think if there's a situation where there's any type of, I mean, the support was there, right? I supported them all the way through.
Family.
But if there was not a family, core family, and there's a lot of good families that lose kids, trust me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all for that, but I've been very blessed in that sense. And they're up and running, so that's a good thing. So I think there's some good there, but obviously if it's not monitored, not watched, not taken care of, and it can slip the other way very, very, very quickly.
And you have to be advocating for your children.
Advocate
like
all
as
the
soon
time.
As you see even a hint of
Absolutely.
Something, you got to be
Absolutely.
On it. And then another one is just this rise in autism that is pretty incredible. Back before our generation, even, Tim, I think it was one in every 10,000 children.
Yeah, that's
great. Maybe more. Yeah. I can't remember the statistic. And now it's like one in 11 boys with autism. And, you know, here's the stories I also hear. Your child is fine, and then suddenly there's no eye contact, there's no speech, there's no nothing. So that's another loss of that child that was this way, and now they're a different way. Do you see how I'm correlating this to the scripture?
Yeah,
so the enemy is just devouring our children through a variety of ways.
Really quick, just a kind of a final thing, and we could go on forever, and I love this conversation. It's just great, such knowledgeable people. What are your future plans? Reverend, what are your future plans, and what do you see on the horizon? And we know that the Reverend's doing things beyond the Naples community, but Kim, what's your plans
All
in
right.
the next?
Well,
let's give us
my short
just in the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 years.
I'm going to go even shorter than that. My next plan is to get up to Camp Constitution for the summer, and I'm going to let Rev expound more upon why I want to get there. The other thing is I want to start speaking out more and more. I feel like the time has come for me to really start getting bolder, and I think maybe some of that came from some impartation from Reverend Kraft. Hanging around him a lot has made me much bolder, and that's a good thing. So I'm going to be speaking out, advocating more for homeschooling, and advocating more for everybody to rise up and do something to protect the vulnerable. And there is so much that can be done. No more excuses. We got to get this done.
That's a passion for me as well.
No more excuses, because one of the things that I'm doing, and I'm going to keep thundering it as a pulpit-pounding, patriotic, pistol-packing preacher, this nonsense about these clergy people, these so-called pastors, being silent, that's wicked. Because God calls the preachers to cry aloud and spare not. Warn the people of their impending judgment before God. Because there's no debate on the issue of all of us, left, right, center, are going to perish off this earth. We're going to die. There's no debate there. But where the debate comes in, what happens after death? Does death end everything, or is there a judgment that we're going to stand before the God of the universe and give an account how we lived our life on earth? There's no third option. And my position is simply this: as a preacher of the gospel that's going to thunder the word of God without compromise, with boldness, because the Bible is clear on that. If we keep our mouths shut and don't protect the vulnerable, don't protect the innocent, don't warn the wicked to turn from their wicked ways. And God tells us in the scripture that everything in Bible is black and white. It's not gray. See, we either are or we aren't. Night is not day. Day is not night. Boys are not girls. Girls are not boys. Right is not wrong. Wrong is not right. Up is not down. Down is not up. Yet in this wicked time we live now, people believe just the opposite. But the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 5, he says, there's coming a time where sweet will be called bitter, bitter will be called sweet, righteousness will be called wickedness, wickedness will be called righteousness, good will be called evil, evil will be called good. God told us that in the Bible, in the Old Covenant, over 1,000 years ago. Yet we don't want to hear it. I'm concluding this interview with simply this. True wisdom comes out of the scriptures. not over CBN, ABC, MSNBC, and all that nonsense. They're liars, and there's no truth in them. But if we want to find out what true wisdom is, we have to get into those, into the Bible, because the Bible came down from God, whether we believe it or not. Given to us in a book, it's the roadmap on how to live our life. The word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, simply means basic instruction before leaving Earth. And I'll end with that.
Wow. Thank you so much. Kim, anything else to finish out with?
Yeah. I want to end Reverend. With this quote that I absolutely love with from Tolkien. This is why I love classical education, too. We got to get more of this out there. The good of the world depends on the behavior of an individual in circumstances which demand of him suffering and endurance far beyond the normal, demand a strength of body and mind which he does not possess. And, you know, that quote makes me think of, yeah, and that's why we need the Lord, because he gives us that strength that we don't possess. He gives us the ability to have that endurance beyond the normal, that strength of body and mind, which we don't possess without him. And that's what keeps me going. I say almost every single day, I'm sure of it, several times, Lord, make my feet like hinds' feet. Strengthen me to difficulty, because this is not easy. It's not. To do the right thing is not easy. Mm-hmm. And so we need God. Mm-hmm. If we're ever going to turn this around, we need God. Mm-hmm. This is not going to be done through politics.
That's right.
We need God. It's good to get into politics. It's good to be godly and get into politics. Because God only knows we need godly people in politics. But this war is not going to be won through politics. We've got to get down on our knees, repent, and cry out to God for our need for him.
Our foundation must be spiritual. Our politics are the structure that's built on a solid foundation of spiritual reality. We are not just body, flesh, and blood. We are spirits that have a soul that live in a body. And people don't understand that. That's why so many people are committing suicide and killing themselves, because they cannot cope with reality. And the reason why they can't cope with reality is because they have forgotten their creator. We did not create ourselves. We are the creation, and we were created by the Lord of the universe, who created heaven, earth, and everything within it. So as a preacher of the gospel, I thunder the fact that people have to realize that there is an invisible reality. And that invisible reality is what created the natural material reality. And if we don't want to hear that, we're fools. And the Bible tells us we're fools if we deny the existence of the Creator. And when we look at the Declaration of Independence, it tells us that we are created by our Creator to do good works, and he gives us our government, our politics. Politics is not the problem. The problem is who controls the politics, because we have to have laws. We have to have a government. There's nothing wrong with politics. But the question becomes, whose politics are we abiding by? Are we abiding by the politics of the godly that the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the Bible says the people rejoice. But when the wicked bears rule, the people mourn. We're mourning now in America because we have wicked people. It's not about Democrats, Republicans. They're both wicked. They both have their own agenda. They're two sides of the same coin. What we have to understand, do we have politics that's run by godly people versus politics that's run by evil people? That's why there's all this talk about Christian nationalists, like Christians are going to run up down the street with ARs, blown away and cutting off people's heads. No, God gave us nations, not a one world government. He gave us nations. And the United States of America, we're losing our nation because of globalism. I'll end with that.
And we're all wicked without the Lord. Exactly. Without Jesus Christ, we are all wicked and wearing filthy rags, and our works are no good. So we need Jesus. Yeah. We got to have him.
Well, Kim, Reverend, amazing. podcast. This is so much information, so much to take in, so much to think about. We're like at 45 minutes talking, and we're just getting started. But anytime you guys come, Reverend, anytime you come to Naples, come on in, jump in. Kim, you always have a spot here as well. You're doing great things with Samantha and throughout the state. That's a whole nother podcast, right?
Yeah.
God bless you up there on the way up there. And, you know, thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Tim, thank you. Thank you for giving us this platform, and God bless you.
Yeah, and that's what we're here for, just to let people talk and get the word out.
Exactly.
Yeah, thank you.
Exactly.
All right.
I will take your card. People can contact me through Camp Constitution website, campconstitution1word.net, and then just scroll down to speakers. I'm the chaplain for Camp Constitution. Some of your listeners and audience may know that we won the United States Supreme Court case Shirtlift versus City of Boston, the flag case. You remember that?
I've heard of it, but
that's us. Yeah, we wanted to fly the Christian flag in 2017 on Constitution Day. And the powers that be, City Hall, says, oh, no, that's a separation of church and state, which was a lie in and of itself. And was like Kimberly said, we didn't quit. We didn't give up. We says, no. They were flying rainbow flags. They were flying communist flags, all kind of transgender flags. But they told us,
Christian
flag. Can't fly the Christian flag. He said, oh, yes, we can. Because that First Amendment doesn't only have the establishment clause. It has the free exercise clause. So we fought. We fought that thing in the courts from 2017 all the way to 2022. And guess what? We prevailed, but we didn't prevail 8-1 or 7-2. We prevailed 9-0.
Yeah. Wow.
Shirtlift versus City of Boston. Pull it up.
So, and you forgot to say that Camp Constitution is hosting Dr. Willie Soon this summer.
Well, he's part of us.
Yeah, he's part of Camp Constitution. Yeah. He's a regular speaker. Yeah. And there's a really good possibility, rumor has it, that Tucker Carlson's going to be there, and that's why I want to get there. So you can go to my website, theconservativemamabear.mom, if you'd like to give a generous gift and support my causes. I would really, really appreciate it. Yeah. Theconservativemamabear.mom.
Outstanding. Well, thank you guys so much. Again, 239 Uncensored, everything Southwest Florida and beyond, and we are out. We do a little fist bump in the middle. All right, thank you guys. We appreciate you.
Please make sure to download and listen to us on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. And don't forget to like and share on social media. This has been a Studio 239 production. That was fun.